Goodness, this Hollywood.
Yeah, babe, this is little old Hollywood. Cameras, stars, radio, publicity. Name, dame, fame. Baloney, Tony, phony. Autographs, epitaphs, photographs. Hollywood. Hollywood.
Yeah, little old Hollywood. Little old Hollywood. The National Broadcasting Company presents the 15th edition of this entertainment feature direct from Hollywood's Radio City. Sunset and Vine, the crossroads of the show world. Master of ceremonies of the performance, Ben Alexander. And on the bill tonight, the glamorous young star Priscilla Lane, Hollywood's oldest restaurateur Al Levy, the Hollywoodman, and such regular features of our show as Go-Go Deletes, Robert L. Redd's comedy serial, Two Happy People, and the distinguished music of Gordon Jenkins. It's several days yet before St. Patrick's Day, but nevertheless, it's time now to meet Hollywood's oldest young actor, Ben Alexander.
Greetings from little old Hollywood, friends. Greetings from the town that's always chasing rainbows. As Mr. Bingman just said, it is a few days, six to be exact, until St. Patrick's Day. We thought we'd celebrate a little early this season. To help us celebrate, we have one of Hollywood's prettiest Irish girls with us, the Warner Brothers star, Priscilla Lane. Sure, and you're up to bat, Priscilla. Oh, welcome, Priscilla. Welcome to our show. Erin Gabra and all that sort of good luck.
Well, thank you, Ben. And let me say, I'm glad to be attending your wake tonight.
Always kidding, you Irish girls, aren't you?
Well, I think you could at least call me by my good Irish name, seeing as how we're celebrating for good St. Patrick.
But I introduced you as Miss Lane, Priscilla Lane.
Yes, but you see, Ben, each year as this Irish season rolls round, I take back the name I was born with.
Well, sure, and what might that be?
Mulligan.
Mulligan, huh?
Oh, no, not with a G, with a C. Oh. Mulligan. The true name is Pat Mulligan. You see, the Mulligans and the Mulligans never speak. We live on different sides of the track.
Oh, I get it. Well, I'll never make such a horrible mistake again. Mulligan. Mulligan.
M-U-L-L-I-G-A-N spelled Mulligan. Proud of all the Irish blood that's in her. Devil a man can say a word again her. M-U-L-L-I-C-A-N-U-C.
Is a name that a shame never has been connected with.
Mulligan.
That's me.
Mulligan is she.
Oh, now do not confuse me with Scarlett O'Hara, who lived on a southern plantation named Tara. And I'm not an O'Rourke from Old County Cork.
She's not an O'Keefe. She isn't a Quinn. She's not an O'Neill. She isn't a Flynn. She's not an O'Reilly or Flanagan.
Mulligan, Mulligan.
Well, Priscilla, I mean Pat Mulligan, I think we have it all straightened out now. Of course, I've always heard the tune called Harrigan.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ben, you invited me here as your guest.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know how the Irish are. They like crowds and lots of people.
Well, I know I've heard that.
So I invited a friend of mine and brought him here to your show as my guest.
Oh, fine. And this is the gentleman. Well, introduce him, please.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to meet a grand old man, Hollywood's oldest restaurant owner, a member at good standing of the famous Irish Society, the Friendly Sons of St. Patrick. Ladies and gentlemen, meet Al Levy.
Well, just step right up to our mic, Mr. Levy. That's it. Have you some word for us?
Well, I'm certainly glad to be here with the rest of the Irish.
Well, no kidding, Ben. Mr. Levy was born in Dublin.
Really? Mm-hmm. That's not quite right, Pat.
No?
No. I was born in Liverpool, but my mother was born in Ireland, and I received my education in the city of Dublin.
And is that where you got your gold, Mr. Levy?
Curing it is my predicament.
Well, I bet you kissed the Blarney Stone, judging from the way you talk.
Kissed it? I would have brought it home with me one night if the officers hadn't stopped me.
Well, I say three cheers for the Irish. They're a grand, big-hearted race of people.
Yes, I've always been proud that I was that rare combination, an Irish Jew.
You know, they used to speak of Mr. Levy as A.B.'s Irish Rose of Hollywood.
Yes, Priscilla.
Well, remember what you told me about how old you're going to be in another 2 weeks?
Yes, and I do.
Well, may I ask, Pat, how old will Mr. Levy be on his next birthday?
Well, you tell him, Mr. Levy.
Sure, and I'll reach the young old age of 80.
80? Well, we hope you double that. How about it, huh? You bet. 80 years. Sure.
But remember what you promised me, Mr. Levy? Hmm?
Well, I do.
You do remember, don't you, Mr. Levy? You made a promise,
Pat. I only promised to sing for you in a moment of weakness.
Well, remember now, with an Irishman, a promise is his bond. And I think you better make good.
You bet, Miss Levy. How about an Irish song?
Oh!
Well, that's what he's going to sing, Ben.
Good.
Go ahead, Mr. Levy.
That's what he's...
That's what you're going to sing, huh?
Well, at least it's short.
Oh, good.
You won't have to suffer long. It goes like this. In Dublin Bay City, there lived a fair maid named Molly Malone. She wheeled a wheelbarrow through the streets wide and narrow, singing cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh.
Well, thank you, Mr. Al-Levy. Thank you. And thank you, Priscilla, Pat Mulligan-Lane, for being with us and bringing a guest. And don't go away, Pat. We want to hear from you later. Here's the Gordon Jenkins aggregation all ready to bust out with some of those smooth, hot arrangements for which they're rapidly growing famous. Today, it's a special of I Got Rhythm, the distinguished music of Gordon Jenkins. Another episode of Robert L. Redd's comedy serial, Two Happy People. It stars Fred Mackay as that delightful conveyor of confusion, Harvey Doubleday, and Margaret Brayton as Brooke Stewart, Harvey's love interest. They are supported by Verna Felton. Last week, the police hustled them all off to headquarters on a charge of kidnapping. But soon after, due explanations, they were set free, the baby being returned to its joyous parents. A day or so ago, Harvey met a man who hires lifeguards for California beaches. The man told Harvey to drop down to Upper Santa Monica Beach, and they would discuss the matter of a job. So, accompanied by Brooke and her mother, Harvey decides to make an afternoon's outing out of it. Business and pleasure combined. Now, here they are, just arriving at the beach, and they're looking for a spot to set up their umbrellas and spread out their blankets.
This looks like a nice spot, Harvey.
Yes, let's camp here. My shoes are so full of sand, I can hardly lift my feet.
Yeah, we're only a little ways from the lifeguard station. I can keep my eyes peeled for Mr. Hugganuggy.
Mr. Huganuggy?
Hugganuggy, Hugganuggy, Hugganuggy.
Oh, stop giving those imitations, Harvey.
Imitations? Say, it does sound kind of like a railroad train, doesn't it? Hugganuggy, Hugganuggy, Hugganuggy. Woo, woo! Hugganuggy, Hugganuggy, woo, woo!
Harvey! Harvey, somebody might hear you.
Yeah, if I think I was in my second boyhood, huh?
Anyway, who is Mr. Hugganuggy?
He's the lifeguard that's going to watch me swim today. If I'm good enough, he might give me a job at this beach for the summer.
Heaven help the swimmers in a riptide.
Oh, but Harvey's a good swimmer, Mother. He said he was.
Oh, sure, sure, sure. Harvey, will you spread out our blankets?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, here, Harvey. Let me help you spread it down.
Yeah. There now. I'll put up the umbrella for you now, Miss Stewart.
Goodness, I've lost my sunglasses.
Oh, that's too bad, Miss Stewart.
Well, here, Mother, you take mine.
No, no, you keep them yourself, Brooke.
But the bright sun always makes you squint so, Mother.
Yes, and afterwards I always get bags under my eyes.
Well, you always have a few bags under your eyes, Miss Stewart.
Harvey, I see.
Well, I mean, if I were you, I wouldn't worry until I started to get bags over my eyes. You know.
Please, Harvey.
Now, look, you two go on and have fun. Don't worry about me.
Well, what are you going to do, Mother?
Well, later I may take my shoes and stockings off and go down and dip my tootsies in the salt water.
Yeah. Well, maybe you just better stay here, Miss Stewart, and keep in the shade of this umbrella.
I'm old enough to take care of myself, son.
Oh, I know you're old enough.
Dear, maybe you better spread the other blanket over there a little ways so we won't disturb Mother if she wants to rest.
Go on, you two. Leave me alone.
Yeah. Gosh, Brooke, if we don't have to hang around your mother all afternoon, maybe we can pitch a little woo, huh?
Maybe.
Well, come on, over this way, Brooke.
Yes. Well, if you want it, Mother, we'll be right over here. You can call.
Oh, go on.
Hey, Brooke, see, over here I found a small spot right by a big rock. I'll put the blanket down. How do you like this place?
Oh, this is simply wonderful, Harvey. Oh, it was a wonderful idea of yours for us to put on our swimming suits in town at the apartment.
Yeah, I'm going to slip off my flax and sweater now and get some good old sunshine on. Body beautiful.
I guess I'll take off my robe.
Gee.
Gee, what, darling?
Gee, what a beautiful bathing suit. It's all white.
You like it?
You are kidding.
I bought it this morning. Do you like a white bathing suit, Harvey?
Sure like the one you got on. Can hardly tell where the bathing suit ends and you begin.
Uh-huh. I like your swimming trunks, Harvey.
Yeah.
They must be new, too, aren't they?
Yeah, I got them this morning over on Hollywood Boulevard. They're genuine Hawaiian.
Oh, just look. Pictures printed right in the cross. Look, here's a picture of the beach at Waikiki.
Yeah, and they got words printed on them, too. See here, on this leg, aloha.
Yes, and up here by the belt, it says poi.
Yeah, and here's a word that says, oh, coolie how.
Oh, gee, they're wonderful swimming trunks.
Just about the most entertaining pair of pants I ever wore.
Harvey, just look out there at the ocean. Isn't it all so romantic?
Yeah. And it's deep, too.
I don't know whether I want you to take a job as a lifeguard, darling. Maybe it's too dangerous. Oh, why are you laughing?
I was just thinking. I sure pulled a fast one on that lifeguard day before yesterday when I met him up in Hollywood.
What did you do?
Well, we were talking, and he asked me the most asinine question.
What did he ask you, Harvey?
Well, he said, can you swim? First, I thought he was kidding.
He asked if you could swim? What did you tell him?
Well, I gave him a hot one right back. I said, no, but I could sure wade like the dickens.
Well, I guess that held him then.
I'm not sure, though.
Why not? I think it was very clever of you.
Yeah, but I think he sort of tossed one back at me a little later. I'm not sure because I don't know much about submarines.
Submarines?
Yeah, you see, he was talking about how all his life he'd lived and worked around water, and he said he was in the Navy once and helped run a submarine.
I don't believe him. What did he do on the submarine?
Well, that's what I asked him. And he said, oh, I used to run forward and hold her nose when we were going to dive.
Oh, Harvey. Harvey, are you really a good swimmer?
Well...
Can you dive?
Yes, I can dive, but I don't always land so good.
Oh, I'd love to see a man dive. Have you ever dived from a real high tower, Harvey?
Once.
Just once, huh?
That was plenty.
How high was the tower?
50 feet.
Oh, it must have taken a lot of nerve to dive from a tower that high.
Nerve, nothing. All it took was a little shove.
Oh, isn't it wonderful here?
Yeah. Fun just lying here talking with you, Brooke.
Listen to the ocean beat on the shore, Harvey. I wonder what the wild waves are saying.
Well, I think they're saying that you're the most wonderful girl in the whole wide world, Brooke.
Oh, am I, darling?
Gee, I sure like to look into your eyes, Brooke.
Can you see the love light burning in them?
Well, I guess it's love light. And your lip.
What about my lip, sweetheart?
They send me.
Oh, really, Harvey?
Yeah, and they bring me back, too.
Only you will ever kiss them, Harvey.
Oh, hot turkey. I sure like to pitch woo. Oh,
gracious, Harvey. I wonder if I'm getting sunburned. Look at my limbs.
Maybe you think I don't like to. Boy.
I mean, my arms and legs, they're a fiery red.
Yeah, they are kind of a hot pink. Hey, you better put on your beach robe, Brooke.
Yeah. Oh, what's that? Oh, it sounded like Mother.
Yeah, it is your mother. She's in the ocean.
With all her clothes on.
Help! Help! Oh,
guys, did you see that? That big wave just bowled her over. George, I'll save her. I'm coming, Miss George.
Get out of here. Oh, dive into the ship, Harvey. Dive.
Yeah, George. She is pretty cold. Oh.
Harvey, where'd you go?
Harvey,
there's a big hole in the sea. Where is he? Oh, you idiot. Get up on your feet.
Oh, water is... It's cold. It took my breath away.
Took your breath away? It knocked out cold.
Whew! Gosh, that last big wave must have washed us both up on the shore here, huh, Miss Stewart?
Well, you certainly didn't pull me out.
Oh, my gosh.
Get up on your feet. Don't sit there in that pool of water spluttering. Get up.
I don't dare.
What is the matter, darling? Why are you just sitting there? Are you hurt?
No.
Well, then get up, Harvey.
Oh, I can't.
Why can't you?
Oh, holy smokes, I'm in trouble. Don't look now, but it's my new Hawaiian trunk.
Well, what's happened to them?
Well, if you must know, the buttons that held the beach of Waikiki onto the Okulihau, well, they just said aloha. Oh.
We turn now to the always entertaining vocal interpretations of our French-Canadian songstress, Gogo Delice. From the new Disney picture, Pinocchio, she sings, When You Wish Upon a Star. Go, go, delete.
When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you. If your heart is in your dream, no request is too extreme. When you wish upon a star as dreamers do, fate is kind. She brings to those who love the sweet fulfillment of their secret longing. Like a bolt out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through. When you wish upon a star, your dreams come true. When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you. If your heart is in your dream, no request is too extreme. When you wish upon a star, as dreamers do, fate is kind. She brings to those who love the sweet fulfillment of their secret longing. Like a bolt out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through. If you believe in dreams, wait till the starlight gleams. When you wish upon a star, your dreams come.
I still insist that you sing better every time I hear you, Gogo. And now I'm going to bring Priscilla Lane back for a little information. Pat, front and center.
Yes, sir. What sort of information, Ben?
Sure, in 6 more days will be St. Patrick's Day.
You're telling an Irishman.
Priscilla, it seems as if the Irish hold a pretty firm grip on Hollywood. Just offhand, Pat, how many stars and players can you think of who are Irish?
Well, of course, there's always Pat O'Brien.
Pat O'Brien? Oh, he wouldn't be Irish with a name like that.
Well, he wouldn't be an Egyptian.
Well, who else in town here, huh?
Well, Jimmy Cagney and Spencer Tracy.
Keep on going, Priscilla.
Oh, well, if you really want me to name a few Irishers in Hollywood pictures, how about Alan Hale, Dennis Morgan, Mickey Rooney, Margaret Sullivan, Gail Patrick, Errol Flynn, Walter Connolly, Robert Cummings, Reginald Denny, William Gargan, Alice Faye, Jimmy Gleason, Tyrone Power. You want some more, Ben?
No, I think that proves the point. But the Irish do well when there's a bit of fancy acting to be performed. Just one more thing, Priscilla. You just finished making a picture out at Warner Brothers, 3 Cheers for the Irish. I suppose it was really loaded with you sons and daughters of Erin, eh?
Well, Thomas Mitchell, Dennis Morgan, and Alan Hale and myself have the leading roles in it.
Oh.
And if you're after straight Irish blood, well, that's not bad for a starter.
I'll say it isn't.
And the director of the picture was Lloyd Bacon, Irish through and through. And the script girl was Miss Florence O'Neill. The head electrician was Michael Casey. But the fellow who handled the publicity...
Well, who was he?
Well, he's a very good friend of mine, Jake Rosenstein.
Oh, thank you again, Priscilla Lane. Okay, Gordon, let's get into that toast to the Irish of Hollywood. Go Gordon Jenkins and the orchestra, supported by that fine Irish tenor Jimmy O'Brien, the Hollywoodman, and a genuine Terry Piper, Ian Kerr, present a host of songs dear to the heart of every Irishman. Jimmy O'Brien, whose ancestors all hail from County Killarney, Ireland, sings Gail Patrick's favorite Irish song, The Rose of Tralee.
The pale moon was rising above the green mountain. The sun was declining beneath the blue sea. When I strayed with my love to the pure crystal fountain that stands in the beautiful Vale of Tralee. She was lovely and fair as the rose of the summer, yet was not her beauty alone that won me. Ah, no, 'twas the truth in her eye ever dawning that made me love Mary, the rose of Tralee.
Fibber McGee and Molly, Marion and Jim Jordan in real life, are Irish to the core. With Fibber at the piano and the old-timer with his concertina to make music, you should see Fair Molly dance an old-time reel her mother taught her. Yes, it's three cheers for the Irish Fibber and Molly. Of a Terry Piper to honor that fine little Irishman, Jimmy Cagney. It's the Irish air, The Wearin' of the Green. O'Brien, assisted by the Hollywoodman, sing the favorite song of our guest of honor tonight, Priscilla Lane. The song, When Irish Eyes Are Smiling.
When Irish eyes are smiling, sure it's like a morning spring. In the lilt of Irish laughter, you can hear the angels sing. When Irish hearts are happy, all of the world seems bright and gay. But when Irish eyes are smiling, sure they steal your heart.
Stay tuned. More great old radio classics coming right up on Same Time, Same Station.
May we point out that next week, our show will be heard over most of these stations just 2 hours earlier. So then, until then, this is Ben Alexander saying, keep your sunny side up. Yes, indeed you should. Good night.
This program is heard in Canada through facilities of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. This is the National Broadcasting Company.